ザクロ
All right.
Yes. But what happened was, what their idea of free speech was, it turns out, was like you can curse on the air.
Right.
But they actually had a lot of limits to what you can and cannot say. Mm-hmm. Frank immediately honed in on those things, as he does. They had a thing where the DJs would be doing their show and they'd say, I don't think anybody's listening. Because they have a chat room, which what we do too, which is primarily for like the DJs as a way for DJs to communicate with each other mm-hmm. because they're all over the world. You know, so you have to use the telephone. There's nobody in the chat room. I don't think anybody's listening. If I don't get an email in 5 minutes, I'm going to stop doing my show. So Frank, all I said was, you know, that doesn't make any sense because even if there isn't anybody listening, which I don't think is true. If somebody tuned in and there's nothing on the air, why are they going to come back? So there's got to be something going. B. Seems obvious.
Is B-A. This going over the air now?
Yes. B-A. Basic. That's basic. But what happened was Frank would say it on his show, live on his show. Mm-hmm. And we'd see in the chat room from the management, which is what these guys call themselves. I mean, they're just guys doing the station, you know, but they're kind of using that form already, the management, saying, Frank, you're not allowed to talk about company policy on the air. So Frank would have me read that out loud. Yeah. And so they finally backed off on that because they could see, you know, he wasn't getting intimidated by it. And then the next thing that happened shortly after that was they said that because they have to sell out to get corporate sponsorship to pay the monthly bills and that they don't see it as compromise because even though there's certain things they won't be able to say, they never do see it as compromise. They'll still be able to get their message across.
Mm-hmm.
So Frank just kind of said, that doesn't make sense. You know, how much does it cost? You know, can't all the DJs chip in and pay whatever it is? Well, they wouldn't give out the amount. It turned out it was $99. They were going to sell out for $99. And, you know, each DJ would have paid like $5 or $10 a month, you know, and that would have covered it. But they weren't interested in having the DJs pay the money. If I... M-S-E, selling out, I will get a lot of money. Frank's not going to sell out cheap. Not for $99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, you know, kind of hit a sour note with everybody because they said they didn't want to do that. They wouldn't give out the amount. And then it started this whole kind of philosophical argument about how, you know, what is selling out and what's wrong with it. And Frank's this hippie who doesn't know anything about money and business. And, you know, why don't you start your own station if you know so much? You know, so after a few weeks of that, he said, okay, you know, and Mikey learned the technical stuff in a week. So we gave our notice. And never missed a Sunday night of Shaman's Den. Mm. And started out with us and a DJ in Tokyo. And then built the station to where we're 24 hours a day pretty quickly. Now we have H-E-A heavy... H I T hitters like you.
Heavy hitters, I don't know. Well, I can relate to the issue of having no listeners, and we certainly at in the well, at Berkeley Liberation Radio, I often feel like, well, nobody's listening anyway. But it's a good point. If you go off, then how will anybody know to tune in?
Yes.
I just driving over here. In fact, I was listening, and the sound quality was so bad. But it's so important, these issues of free speech.
Yes. Yes.
And who controls
and
information?
Yes,
they're so crucial.
Yes, you, he, you, N, E, you never know who, what, will do what.
Mm-hmm.
When, what, will, see, O, N, N, connect, with what?
That's true. You never know.
E, X, P, R, E, X, P, no, E, X, C, E, accept, what, when, you, don't, do, it, except when you don't do it, and then you know that it's not going to connect with anybody. What? How? What did you, what did you do before B, L, Berkeley Liberation Radio?
What did I do before? You mean what did I do before I did radio?
Yes.
Because I started at KPFA 21 years ago in 1980. And so I've been doing it. I'm on several radios, several stations. The Radio for Peace International on the planet, two shortwave stations, and the Lover station, and Berkeley Liberation Radio. And I'm back on KPFA also. Just once a month on KPFA, weekly on those other stations. And I work with Women's International News Gathering Service also. I do that now. So I do all those radio things. And before that, I've been an activist all my adult life, pretty much, since I came to Berkeley in 1963. And I was an organizer. I jumped right into the civil rights movement. And then it was the anti-Vietnam War and the women's movement. And so I've been involved, you know, all that time doing organizing. I also got a couple master's degrees, and one in social work and one in public health. I used to do therapy, counseling kind of things. But I was always, you know, I feel like I want to make changes on a big scale, or I want to feel like I'm making a progress in that direction. I mean, it's, who knows, you know, but so I always have this organizing thing, like by getting people together, more people together, you know, have the idea if they get educated or they get together, you get together, stick together, all that kind of thing, you know, do, we'll have more power that you have to make up in people power, which you don't have in money. Money power.
Mm-hmm. How do you K-E keep your H-O-P hope?
Well, sometimes I don't. It's hard. I mean, I just feel like I have to do something. I'm a person with energy. I can't just sit around and do nothing. And I just guess I figure that there's always hope until there's not, until it's really clear cut. But I don't feel particularly optimistic. But it just seems to be a kind of a inherent part of who I am, and not only me. I mean, while we're alive, you have to just do the best you can. Just, I feel that I have to do that just to feel okay with myself. But hope and optimism are two different things. But until something's in it, you know, finished, you can't say it's hopeless. Even though it seems hopeless often.
That, there, then, they, then they win.
Then they win if you give up hope.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it seems to be unnatural. I mean, I'm not, I'm not a very real optimistic person oftentimes. Sometimes I am. Depends on the day, the hour, what I had for breakfast, whatever, you know, all these things. What just happened to me, all those kinds of things. But it just seems like I don't know how people can just sit around and be passive. It's just not my nature. And we have to be doing something all the time. And so that's, you have to do one thing or another as long as you're alive. It's kind of built in, for me anyway. I know a lot of people don't see it that way.
Most people think they think in terms of WI winning and losing. It is J just F I fighting.
That activism is just fighting?
Yes. W I with no F I N final W I win or loss.
Fighting with no final win or loss. You mean always just kind of, it's a constant struggle, kind of. Yeah, well, I feel that way a lot of times. You're just kind of treading water to keep going. I definitely often feel that way.
When people think in terms of winning and losing, after a while, they you burn out. Why have not we W O one yet? Why haven't, that's the way they think. Why haven't we won yet? That's part of the burning out process.
Yeah. Well, process. That's you just said the word process. I mean, life is a process. It just goes on and on and on. I think it does. So it doesn't get to a point where it just stops and that's that. I mean, we have that in our minds, many of us. I do too. Hit the mic. I don't know how that sounds. But where, you know, you hit a plateau where everything is just how you want it to be. I mean, that's the ideal. But nothing ever is staying the same. Everything is always changing.
That is not how life works.
What I just said is not how it works?
No, that life doesn't work at this, like, where it's like a plateau right. and everything just stops. Like,
no.
The way life works is constant, this constant change.
Constantly moving, yes. Yeah. And it's so much subjective, too. Like I said, the way I feel, and I know this is true for everybody else, it just depends on so many things. It's the same, you're sitting in the same chair in the same room, and all of a sudden your mood, you know, everything looks different because of something internal. So it's in what's internal, what's external. You know, it's all very mysterious. I don't think about that every minute of my day. But if you've looked deeply into it, which I imagine you have, you probably know what I'm talking about.
Yes. People need to GHEAR here. How someone like you K keeps going.
Keeps going. Well, my friends and people that I relate to make a big difference when I get down. And sometimes I have to stop. I mean, I'm since September 11th, everything has gotten so much, even so much more intense, which it was anyway. And I've been really pushing, like a lot of people, and feeling like I'm on an emotional roller coaster. Some of it, I mean, again, it's hard to separate out what's kind of a general thing and what's me. And I've been feeling a lot of fear off and on, not all the time, but sometimes because of the loss of our civil rights, which were kind of going anyway. And it's very scary. I know that this government... and not only this government, but particularly this government, since that's the one we have right now, is really not interested in hearing much dissent. And even little radio stations like these little tiny pirate stations, basically, are considered a threat. So I get very scared of what's going to happen. And sometimes I'm not scared enough to keep my mouth shut because... I just couldn't do it because I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't stand myself. What could I do? I mean, I have to say that I have the inclination sometimes to go hide in a hole, but it doesn't stay with me. It moves. I mean, it's part of
where?
That constant movement and impermanence, I guess.
Where would you hide?
Yeah, good question. Exactly. But there might be somewhere, you know. Who knows? I haven't looked that hard. But you can't hide from yourself. That's the thing. You always write, what does it say? Wherever you go, there you are.
Damn. F-U-N, funny, the A-N, anti, C-G, global, anti-global movement was... Not was Jay just getting going. My, it was the B. E best thing for the C corporate power structure for all this to happen.
Right. I agree. Yeah. Yeah, the anti-globalization movement was actually having a lot of a lot of success. That was, I mean, people, and still is. I mean, people do have much more consciousness, I would think. I mean, they must. They don't have it, and then it just goes away, even though they get scared, and people are very scared. But they certainly were brought light to what the corporations are doing all over the world, and how it's this concerted movement and these organizations that meet in secret and make all these decisions, like the World Trade Organization. They're going to have a meeting, as I'm sure you know, in Qatar, wherever that is, and where it's there can't be possibly any demonstrations.
Not N E A, not near, P, R, O, T, E, protesters. It's not going to be near any protesters. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Protesters, they're not going to be near, right.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're going to have protests in cities all over. I don't know if it'll be the same, but I think it's a very important that the issues, of course, I mean, the issues are still the issues. They're even more the issues. It's not like they've gone away. And, of course, it could seem to a lot of people like this threat of danger to them, basically. I don't like to use the word terrorism too much because it's just too charged up a word. And And there's been lots of terrorism going on forever, including and most especially by the United States government, and still is going on. So it becomes that it's only terrorism, I guess, if it happens in the United States, basically.
Or to O-U our A-L allies.
Maybe. Yeah. These words that you get, everything is all upside down and backwards. Not everything, but so many words get turned around, and then they get so popularized. The media, as you know, is just so slick about this, and so then people start using, it's hard not to. I mean, it's hard not to talk about terrorism, meaning a specific thing right now, meaning something that is going to go off, or diseases that we're going to get. I mean, all awful things, terrible, terrible things to happen to people. And to be living in fear all the time is always awful. And
all W A, all wars, all war is terrorism.
That's for sure. It sure is. Right. But that word has not been used in that way. It's just now become this new word, and the Americans are using.
But the R, R-E, no, the E, the evildoers. The evildoers, that's the phrase that Bush uses, the evildoers.
Yeah. What about it?
They, it, S, E, T, it sets up all kinds of M O R A moral R T T R R E L I G religious F I L filters R A rather than just M-U-R-D murderers.
I have to think about that. Religious, the concept of those other people are evil.
Yes.
Yeah, well, certainly people often talk about the other guy as evil and themselves as good. I mean, when there's when there's fights, that's usually something like that is often the assumption that oneself is good and the other is evil. That dichotomy. So, I don't know. The issue of evil is something I certainly think about evil because it seems pretty evil to be bombing innocent people. A lot of evil. I mean, if there is such a thing as evil. Buddhists say there's no, or the teachings of Buddhism say sometimes, at least as I understand, I could be wrong about this, that there's no evil, only ignorance. I have a hard time with that. I don't quite know what to make of it. But it is one of those words that you have to really pay attention to what you mean when you use it and have some awareness.
They. B. B. I. N. Bin Laden. C. A. Calls us the I. N. F. E. D. Infidel. We call them the evildoers.
Same thing, really.
Yes.
Well, that's what happens in fights. People call each other names. It all seems pretty awful to me. It's certainly the opposite of what I'd like to see in the world, and probably what most people would like to see. They probably most people, when you get right down to it, want to live harmoniously. Why would people want to fight and kill each other? I don't know. But it's been going on, and certainly it's getting worse, or at least the stakes are getting higher. In terms of the planetary, the damage.
In terms of the planetary damage, in terms
the damage to people and living things, and that's been was bad enough before without the wars. I mean, the environmental situation was so terrible without. I mean, before September 11th, it was terrible. Now it's going to be more terrible, both because of things that are getting passed, drilling oil in Alaska, and a lot of bills that are getting passed in Congress, and because of just dumping more poison on, you know, in the form of bombs and toxics and all that onto the earth and onto all the living things, not just people, but including people and all the living things. It's just when you use the word evil, I mean, I can't. It's just beyond me. I just don't get it. How people can do this? I just don't get it. And I know I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that feels that way. What do you think?
My it S E it seems like S H O R short sighted in the E X T extreme.
Absolutely sure does. Short-sighted in the extreme.
They are H U M human, they F they D R I N they drink water B R E A breathe air but that don't S E E seem to E N enter their minds, their equations when they're figuring out what they're going to do.
Yeah. It's strange. I don't know. I feel like I've said this a million times and I know other people who say it too. It's like, how can they not know, not see, not think about it? You know, what can make people act this way? You know, and then there's spiritual traditions, not only Buddhism, but that say, well, all people are trying to do the best thing. I mean, they may be misguided or misinformed. There's all kinds of rationales, but it's hard for me, to understand, accept, and not love my enemy, what seems like my enemy, basically. Which is probably, I mean, since love is the antidote to hate, that probably is where it's at. It's hard, though. It's really hard.
We, A, I, aired, A, C, O N conference of P O T I C political prisoners. Oh, the way it was a conference that happened in Oakland of political prisoners, like a week-long conference or something, and we covered it. We had, our crew there. Okay. And then we aired the whole conference first all at one shot, over a couple of weekends, I think, and then we made it a weekly show until we ran through it again.
Terrific.
But the thing that really struck us was... they had... The people, you know, spoke during the conference, but then we had... Gerald Smith and asked people questions for us on camera. Frank made up a series of questions and Gerald asked people. And their answers to these questions were so positive. It was the most loving group of people that we were just like, you know, how could this be? Everybody was so loving. These are people that had spent most of their adult life in jail for stuff they didn't do, you know, and they're so loving and compassionate with no regrets, no regrets. They do it again, and
amazing.
You know, it just really knocked us over.
Yeah, I've certainly met people like that for sure.
Yeah.
It is, and it is really amazing. I mean, I certainly haven't reached that point by any means. And I figure, I guess in prison you have a lot of, you either get enlightened or you go crazy.
Right.
But it is really impressive.
That L O love is D dangerous. To the power structure.
I'm sure. Yeah.
W. H. I. Which is why we don't. S C T H O. Those kinds of things on the corporate media stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really true, and that's what we have to do. And in response to your earlier question about what keeps me going, I mean, it feels so much better to feel loving and to feel positive. And to be loved, of course, feels great too. Mm-hmm. And that kind of contact with friends is with people I know or people I get inspired by is a lot of what keeps me going, keeps me up to the extent that I am, my energy up, my spirits up. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's true for everybody. So it's just sometimes it's challenging. It's definitely challenging. But it's.
And I am J, just S T U, stubborn. That's what keeps you going. You're just stubborn.
That helps. That
helps. Why? Give them the satisfaction of M.A. making me B.U.B.I. bitter.
That's good. I'll keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, I keep talking about words, but stubborn. What's the difference between stubborn and strong? It's stubborn is a negative way to put strong, in a way. Could be seen that way.
I am A L also. D, you, dumb. Well, that's what he's always said about himself, that he's dumb, that he doesn't, he thinks he can, you know, have everything the way he wants it to be. He's too dumb to know that's not true. And yeah. So he just keeps behaving as if that's true.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. S.
It's great.
So, it is. So it is the way he thinks it should be.
Right. Yeah. That's what I hear is the secret. Then I guess you're living proof. Act as if they're true. If you think they're true, we're creating all the time. I'm really trying to get that stuff that about co-creation that kind of makes you for a long time made me feel like it just sounded a little too easy. And because it wasn't connected to a lot of really hardcore stuff. A lot of the people that say those kinds of things aren't really connected to real hard times and struggle. Yes. Not that everybody doesn't have their pain, but I've been in the last couple of years starting to experience what that means from a more internal way, this co-creation, and which is another way of saying making it happen, I suppose. Just kind of jargonistic kind of way of saying making things happen a certain way.
That was why the P-O-L-P political prisoners conference were S so P powerful they were not N E New Agers W I wimps, New Age wimps.
Yeah, really. I listen to people who have had to be in prison. I listen to them a lot more because I know it is not easy. It's like dealing with racism. I know that, you know, that a person has had, just had to go through so much. I mean, not to, other people might have to too, but I know for sure that those people did. It can't not be easy to be in prison.
Your show has a lot of I am F information. We sometimes get O, overwhelmed with all the information.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing, but I, you know, you know, it is like you kind of get to a point where you think I just like there's just so much to take in. But you know, what we figure is that you just kind of take in as much as you can take in, and don't worry about what you feel like you didn't take in. You're getting it somewhere.
Well, that's an interesting, I'm glad you brought that up, because I sometimes am accused by some people of being too overwhelming. And certainly I experience that myself sometimes. I was, today I was listening to Daniel Sheehan, and actually I interviewed him, so you'll be playing it at some point probably. And he just talked and talked and talked, and he had all these facts and names, and I mean, I couldn't possibly remember them because I don't have a good memory. And but I got the general idea, and then there was a certain point at which I just couldn't take anymore. I just couldn't do it. That happens to me frequently, so I know what that's like. I just can't take anymore on that subject. And so it's a tricky thing about making people aware and educating them and not overdoing it, and I'm interested in your feedback.
Don't stop what you're doing. Yeah.
Okay, I won't.
I F I N I find your every even when we P E even when people F E feel overwhelmed they are getting they're getting it then they will P R O process it as they can. Maybe T A take it, maybe take years.
I do try to slow things down sometimes in my interviews. If something's important, I like repeat what the person said. Because I know that people who know a subject well, they start talking fast and might even use words that the other people don't understand. Especially because a lot of the, all the shows I do are heard by international audiences. So I figure it's also people who don't necessarily speak English so well. There are some people in there listening to that, and not everybody talks fast. Some people, young people, tend to talk more fast. So I try to slow things down sometimes, but yeah, I think that's right. Like, I'm certainly not, I hardly could tell you one exact thing that Daniel Sheehan said today. In fact, when you get right down to it, I mean, I know what he said in the interview that I did with him, but in terms of making all the connections that he was making, historical connections between Germany and the United States, and and the CIA and drugs and all these really juicy things, I can't tell you exactly what he said. And in fact, one of the issues that I have sometimes, especially with people in my family, is that they want me to know, to be able to tell them everything, to remember all these things, and I couldn't possibly remember, you know, all everybody's...
We need A, F, L, O, W, a flow chart to keep track of all the information.
Flowing.
We just S T A started C A R carrying A Democracy Now.
Oh.
We just started airing that on Lover. Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. Democracy Now is really getting out there, and you're helping. It's a great show.
Yes.
That's great. What time is it?
We play it at the end of our kind of schedule every day, so it ranges from like midnight start time to 1 a.m. start time, and then we play both hours back to back, so it's a 2-hour program.
So it's from 12
to 2 on some nights.
Yeah.
What do you
like
remember?
Monday it's like 2 to 4, that's the late night, and then Tuesday it's like 1 to 3, Wednesday it's...
Yeah, it's just like
12:30 to 2:30. That's kind of that, you know, starts somewhere between midnight and 1 o'clock most nights.
We have a schedule so people can check to see when it's on, but we just tacked it on the end of our schedule every day.
How do you get it?
Off of the website. Yeah, it's the Democracy Now! Website has it up there.
So it's archived and you take it off and
And do we archive it? We don't archive it because it's archived there.
Yeah.
Yeah. K. L. A. Last. The last show. She. Did. A. P. I. A piece on how the B U S Bush F family was the Bush family and the Bin Laden family are C connected B by was it
Carnegie Group or something?
Yeah, what was the name of that group?
Carnegie
Group? Something like that.
Yeah, I kind of half heard that show. I'm always half listening because I'm trying to do other things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a.
But there's other people like political, the ex prime minister,
John Major
is part of this group. It's these political people that were in high positions get into this group and use their connections, their political connections, to generate money for this now corporate entity that they're all involved in. And so they go over there after they're out of office, mm-hmm. and they'll do kind of, on the one hand, they'll do what appear to be like political meetings with people, but and then they'll also have these business meetings with the same people. Uh-huh. So they're all making a lot of money from all the various things that are going on now with the fighting and the military and all that stuff through this organization.
They swing arms deals.
Yeah, they swing arms deals. So I'll just keep getting richer and richer.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if most Americans had access to this information?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Not only most Americans, but most people, but especially Americans, since
we S T A started W A. Watching, the world news. We just found this. We get a satellite service on our television, and we had been watching World Link and found, news brought, especially since September 11th, looking for a source of news on TV because, CNN was just like getting so surreal. And so then we found the German news program on World Link. They were playing it like every 2 hours. And we found BBC America, which was all, it's all like mainstream stuff, but it was a lot more information without spin. And then we found this Canadian-based network that's an all-news network. And they show news programs from all over the world. So like the Japanese one is dubbed. You hear like, a man's voice with this woman newscaster, but it's a way, and you certainly see a lot of different things than you're not seeing on the news in the United States.
That's what I hear, that Europe, that people, a lot of people are starting to really, Americans are starting to relate to European, or at least people who want to get information, relate to European media a lot more because there's so much more in it. It's really a world of difference.
It's a way for us, like we listen to Lover all the time and get like, perspective. But it's a way to turn it something on every day and find out like what's happening.
Yeah, it's news.
That's what was missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Satellite. So you have a satellite.
Yeah, we have a satellite.
And just satellite on your house.
Yeah. But it is S.C. scary what we don't get on the news in the United States.
Sure is. Definitely. I always say, I say in a lot of programs, you've probably heard me say, that we have to speak up while we can. We have to use what free speech we have while we have it. And that people are, our minds, well, I'm not mine because I don't watch TV. And, oops, I'm, I don't know how this sounds when I hit the mic.
It's okay.
Can you hear it? Yeah. Anybody hear it?
It's okay.
That people's minds are so influenced, formed really, how by the media, especially by television, that to have any kind of criticism from outside, criticism as in critical thinking, from outside that about it, about the media itself, is it sometimes gets scary to me that there won't be any. Critical thinking about the media because everybody, this is the worst case scenario. I don't think we've hit that point yet. I mean, here we are talking about it, so that shows we haven't. But that there can't be any critical thinking about the very thing that is influencing us so much or influencing most people. So I kind of like to bring up that point whenever I can.
We have a F Are I a friend who thinks of himself as a L I liberal person, but gets very TH threatened by what we have on Lover. And he's even donated money to help support, because he has a lot of money. But he doesn't want to hear about it. He doesn't want to hear about it, particularly the news stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and he's made comments like, you know, nobody wants to hear stuff like that.
Yeah, well, it's got a point. A lot of people don't. They don't want to hear it. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I run into that. That's why one of the reasons I like being on the radio, because I don't like, I feel like people could turn me off. I don't have to see them like responding like negatively to me. They could turn it off. They don't like it because it's. I find it very upsetting the extent to which people don't want to hear things, because that's so much of what's going on is denial. And that we can push stuff away. Somebody said, was telling me about, this is just a couple days ago, a friend of mine who really cheered me up and strengthened me, was one of those people that I was just very down, and she really made a big difference. And she talked about being at a music party. She's a musician. And how she was talking about the bombing of people in Afghanistan. And the person who gave the party was telling her not to talk about that, that he had the party in order to have, you know, for people to have a good time and all this. And she said, the people in Afghanistan don't have a choice about whether or not they... the people didn't want to think about it. And she said, well, they don't have a choice about whether or not to think about it, and we have to talk about it. We must talk. She was so inspiring. She was really great. I mean, that's happened to me many times. It's very clear. Even people don't tell me, don't talk about it, but they sort of give me the mess. I mean, I get the message loud and clear that they walk away, their eyes glaze over, they just become not present. It happens very frequently when I'm not around other like-minded people. And it's, for me, it's very, it makes me sad, angry. And that kind of thing makes me feel hopeless, actually. That's one of the things that most makes me feel hopeless, is how uninterested people are, how they just... And we have the luxury, many of us, not all of us, of not talking, thinking about certain things is the thing. And...
Or thinking we do have that luxury.
Right, exactly. Sure. Yeah.
That is one thing, one time I am dumb. Yeah, Frank is very good at not getting these subtle vibes, you know. Michael and I will sit there and we're like so aware that he should just shut up and change the subject. He just seems like totally oblivious to him. You know, he'll just keep going and going and going and going and going way beyond their ability to vibe him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just kind of like give up and let him just do what he has to do and say what he has to say.
Yeah.
And watch it
and
happen
it works.
Over. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what blows me out is how many people he actually reaches that way. You know, where you like... He'll start talking to somebody and you'll think, I would never say that to that person. They obviously don't want to hear it. They don't know what you're talking about. But Frank always seems to kind of appeal to this higher self in people. And he'll keep pushing past these very uncomfortable points. And they end up, like, loving him. You know, in the end, they'll love him. And then they'll start talking about things with him as if they were there with him all along. You know, as if this didn't just happen, you know. And so that's what makes me see that it is there in people. You know, I don't know, you know, what it is, but it's there. And he's, you know, he seems, if you just kind of, like, hang in there long enough, you seem to be able to yank it out. Yank it to the surface.
Yeah, and if they don't walk away first. But that is, it's interesting. I've actually kind of noticed that sometimes more lately than ever before. Because people around this issue of the war and the September 11th, and it's